Good evening. Let's all stand. Take your songbooks. Turn to page number 285. 285. Town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth and praises sing. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend on us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the holy angels, the great glad tidings tell. Come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Amen. Brother Daniel, how about open service and a word of prayer tonight? Amen. Got another one, Brother Jim?
Page number 373.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayer. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing asunder part. It gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
may be seated. Welcome everyone out tonight, and again, glad to be in God's house tonight. Glad for each one that's come this way, and just want to ask you to, and you know, our ministries nights are canceled after the new year. We'll see what happens after the new year, but there won't be any Awana in the youth group, but we'll have regular Wednesday night prayer meetings, so come out and support that and be a part of that. And I do apologize for Wednesday night, you that watch at home or listen on the radio. I had several people wanting to know why there was no broadcast, and I didn't find out till last minute, after we was already into the service a good ways, that we wasn't doing anything, or we would have had somebody doing something. But we do apologize for that. We know a lot of you are dependent on being able to watch or listening, so just accept my apologies for that, and we'll make sure that we try to have it ironed out so we don't have that problem again, all right? And let's look at our prayer list real quick. There's nothing else on our announcements that is important, but I want to go through our prayer list real quick. Remember those that are dealing with recent losses, and especially those going through their first Christmas and holiday season with a loved one that's gone. It's one of the hardest times that folks say they deal with, so be much in prayer for them. Remember these folks that are dealing with cancer: Sister Tanya, June McClay, Pastor Donnie Cogdill, Peril Horn, Donna Kirkland, Virginia Ashbury. Cindy Mullins has asked us to pray for a 9-year-old boy with brain cancer. Donna Andrews, Sister Jackie's sister, Renee Williams, Jeannie Sizemore, Amanda Burton, a young lady named Nicole, Erica Halt, Nancy Wood, Judy Calvert, that is Nancy's sister-in-law, Nancy and Tammy's sister-in-law, so remember her in prayer. Then remember these heart-related issues: Mr. Phelps, serious heart problems, Mark Wilson, Sister Mary's cousin, and then Brother Jack, keep him in your prayers. He continues dealing with congestive heart failure on top of everything else, low blood count and everything that's going on in him with his health. So just remember him in prayer. Keep Brother Paul in your prayers. He's been really sick this week. Just lift him up in prayer if you would. Keep Stan and Reba in your prayers. Al Christian, blood clots. Joanne Fitzgerald, blood clots. Tom Bender, he's in and out of the hospital with congestive heart failure, fighting with his diabetes. So just remember him. John Ballou, serious back pain. They think that the thing that they put, the electronic thing that they put in his back to the stimulator to help alleviate the pain, may have moved and may be resting on a nerve, but he's in really bad back pain. They're giving him enough medicine to knock a horse out, and it's still coming through. So pray for him. Marie Lefeu, she's home, had COVID, pneumonia. She's home recovering and still on medication from that, so pray for her. Pray for my nephew, my brother David's oldest son, David Gilbert Jr. He's a truck driver, and somebody found him in his truck, and he just wasn't looking right to call the ambulance. They've got him on a ventilator in Michigan with COVID. He was tested positive for COVID, and he's just in a hospital up there somewhere. They don't even know where he's at. All he knows is he's in Michigan somewhere in a hospital. And just pray for him. Pray for Debbie Stanley's cousin, Loren, with COVID. Pray for her sister Pam's cousin, Dawn, with a stroke. Archie Newby with the stroke. Debbie Ross with the stroke. Kelly Stewart, mini stroke. Pray for all them. Keep Brother Steve's dad, Brother T.E. McGill, in prayer for his diabetes under control, his cognitive functions, and as they're getting over the COVID and everything, that they would regain their strength. Timmy McMillan, a young man, 29 years old, kidney failures, needs kidneys, he's on dialysis, and his health just failing. Remember him in prayer. Miss Ashley Sampson, remember her in prayer for seizures and the blood clots. Ashley Tabb, remember her in prayers. The Halls family, we're all dealing with the COVID, so pray for them. Liza Strood, alcohol toxicity, and she's in the hospital for that, but pray for her spiritual needs even greater than that. Pray for Brother Jesse Craigle as he's in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia, getting over to COVID and went into pneumonia, so just pray for him. A great man of God, just lift him up in prayer. Tammy Langford, Fela, Bob Sabinski, Randy Mullins, Mrs. Wilson, Donnie McMillan, Harvey and Sally Walls and their friends at the Senior Center, Anna Meck, Mitchell Berlin, Nancy Tyler, Mrs. Cato, and Beulah Bowman. Just pray for all their general health needs. Pray for the Halls family, these spiritual needs, the Halls family, Gus LaFue, Trish Deaver, Sandy Wainwright, the McGills. Ask us to pray for the kids. And Joyce Gelly, ask us to remember her, Miss Cecilia, Miss Connie's friend, Joan Patrick, ask us to pray for her daughter, Leslie. April Rock, ask us to pray for her and her family. Billy Harmon, ask us to pray for his brother, Andy Harmon, for health and the PTSD that he deals with. The Simpkins, ask us to pray for Joe. Lonnie McMillan's, ask us to pray, or we've been asked to pray for him for depression that he's dealing with. Pray for those that could come to church but don't. Brother Al needs prayer, spiritual prayer for himself. These have asked prayer for lost family and friends. Debbie Stanley, Eileen Mullins, Daniel Anderson, Joe Gonzalez, L. Van Blarkum, especially for his daughter Lisa, Marie LaFue, Nancy Tyler, Delbert Collins, Kit Ray, ask us to remember her stepson Joshua and her son Aaron in prayer. And then Joanne Gillies asks us to remember especially her son, Billy Harmon. Pray for our essential workers, medical professionals, first responders. Pray for our nation. Pray for this COVID-19 mess that's going around. And then I'm going to ask you tonight to pray especially for my wife. She's in the car with me tonight. She's not doing real good at all. I personally think she's got a blood clot in her lung. I think she's got one in her leg. She's got an appointment at 7:30 up here at the place to get COVID tested. She's more worried about the COVID test than she is going to get anything else, and she got a doctor there, and I got Sister Sherry out there strong-arming her to get her to go to the hospital for me, amen, but watching her. So you all pray for her. She's in really bad shape, and I've never seen her like this. She's got me really worried just getting from the house to the car. When she got to the car, she could just only fall in the car, and she couldn't even shut the door. She had to wait a while to get her breath back before she could even shut the door. But pray for her, if you would. Pray for her. And just pray that the Lord just guide us into the right place and where we need to be tonight. Amen. And just guide the doctors. And anyone else tonight? Any special prayer requests? Ruby? Amen. Pray for that. Anyone else? Remember all these special needs in prayer, all right? And we just like to make a mention of them so that we can keep them before you. I keep forgetting to get them to Brian, to get them on the computer and everything else. But if you want a copy of it, just it's laying here. Just come and make a copy of it, or just take this one, and I have another one the next service anyway because I got to update it. All right, who's come to sing tonight? Pretty and ornery, pretty and ornery. come on, Miss Ruby. Number five.
It's bubbling. It's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing and shouting, since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, but I'll tell them why. It's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night.
Amen. All right. Anybody else? All right, you guys, come on. They practiced. I heard them on the radio or practicing. Thank you.
shepherds kept their watching. Oh, silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born.
All that in just one song? Anybody else tonight come sing? Who is that? Tucker? Come on, buddy. Number 5 again.
Jesus has made a sign up for the Bible. Tell me so, I don't want to him be one. Jerry, but he is done. Yes, Jesus was me. Yes, Jesus was me. Yes, Jesus was me. The Bible tell me so.
Amen. Amen. Man, I'm telling you. I keep telling y'all, it makes a difference to folks that you hang around. Amen. Amen. He was hanging around a bunch on this side. He wouldn't get up and sing. Started hanging around a bunch on this side. Now he sings. I know it ain't right, is it? But it's the truth. Amen. Turn your Bibles with us tonight into Luke chapter number 2 again. Luke chapter number 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 8. I'm glad to see the little ones getting up and singing. I'm glad to see young people that want to be a part of the service. Amen. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8. We'll begin reading tonight. It says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you again for another opportunity to be in your house tonight. We thank you for each one that has come this way. We ask you, Lord, tonight just to impart unto us, Father, a spiritual blessing, God, that we might be able to preach your word in power and with a pointed message, Lord, directly from in the glory world. We pray, Father, thanking you for the songs that have been sung, Lord, for these young people, God, that want to be a part of the service and want to worship you, Lord, tonight. And we just pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to allow each of these songs to penetrate our hearts and prepare us, Lord, as you've intended, Father, for the worship hour. Now, God, just use your word tonight to speak to our hearts the things that we stand in need of. Help us, Father, to faithfully be obedient unto you as you minister to our hearts and lives, Lord, and to do that is pleasing unto you tonight. Now, God, have your will and your way in all things, and we'll praise you for what we know you'll do. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. We say amen and amen. What we have here in these few verses that we've read is the very first worship service that worshiped Jesus Christ on this earth. Amen. That worshiped him in purpose and the way that they did things. The very first Christmas worship service that ever took place had to have taken place during the birth of Christ. Amen. It couldn't have happened before. They worshiped him as the coming Messiah. They've worshiped and they've sought for him, and they wrote about him, and they were looking for him and anticipating him. But this was the first time that Christ was worshiped in this world and on this earth. Amen. And there's some things here that we need to see and we need to grasp. And if we could grasp these things, it would help us to worship so much better all the time. Amen. Every day of the year, every service that we come together would be a special service, because we will worship the way that he was worshiped here in the very beginning. First, we see that the messenger was sent from God. Amen. It was a messenger. You know, if you're going to worship God and you're going to hear about Jesus, you want somebody that is sent from God to tell you about Jesus. Amen. The world don't know him. The world has all kinds of ideals about Jesus that are just wrong. They're messed up. They're convoluted. They're shaded by man's carnal mind, his carnal desire, his physical and earthly. That's what that carnal means, earthly nature. And they don't understand God. God's word is spiritually delivered. It's spiritually discerned. Amen. To worship God, we must do it, the Bible says, in spirit and in truth. If you want to worship God and you want to hear about God, you need a message that's delivered by the messenger that God has sent, that he might fulfill his purpose and his power. We see that the messenger was sent from God. We see that the subject was the very one that we must preach about today. And we see that the outcome was a great worship service. So let's just look for just a few moments here about what transpired that brought about the worship the way that it is. It was the greatest message that was ever proclaimed. The angel said in verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. I'm glad he comes to take away the fear in verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Praise God. I'm glad there's a message in this world today that answers the thing that lies in everyone's heart. What is it that everybody fears more than anything else in this world? It's death. Amen. And I tell you what, there's a message that takes away that fear of death, that fear of uncertainty of what happens. Everybody don't go to heaven. Amen. Everybody thinks everybody dies and goes to heaven. I go to funerals, and I do funerals, and I'm at places where people that, you know, lived like hell, acted like hell, raised hell, and they had no time for the Lord. But as soon as they die, everybody says, well, they're in heaven. I got news for you. Most likely they're not in heaven. Most likely they have split hell wide open. Amen. But there's a message in the Word of God. There's a word in the Word of God that gives us hope, that takes away the fear of death. It takes away the sting of death. It takes away the power of death. Amen. And it'll give you something that you'll not find anywhere else in this world. He says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's the greatest message that's ever been proclaimed. It's the story of Jesus. Amen. It's the birth of a Savior. Amen. It's the hope and the help that has been sent into a lost and a dying world for mankind, so that we no longer have to fear death. We no longer have to fear those that might bring death. Jesus said that we need not fear the one that can destroy the body, but to fear the one that has the power over the soul, the power over our eternal being. Amen. That's the one that we need to fear. Amen. We need to fear God and fear Him reverently. That means to reverence God, and that means to see God for who He is. But He's come and He's given us a message to preach. He gave the message to the angels to proclaim that night, that proclaims the hope of mankind. Good tidings to all men. That word good tidings can also be translated to gospel. The gospel is the good news. Amen. What's the good news? That God sent His Son to die for us. God sent His Son to a lost and a dying world. In John chapter number 3, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The greatest message that's ever been preached, the greatest message that's ever been told, is the message of a God that's eternal, a God that is preeminent in the universe, a God that is over all things, that loved His creation so much that He was willing to become a sacrifice for them, and He sent His Son to die in our place. He sent His Son to feel and to suffer the pains of death, and to feel the punishment of the sin of mankind upon Him, that we wouldn't have to deal with it, we wouldn't have to suffer it, we wouldn't have to feel it, and we wouldn't have to fear it. Praise God, for God so loved the world. Amen. There's not a love like God has. There's no one that can love you. You can't love anybody like God can. A mother can't love her own child like God loves you. Amen. I want you to understand that. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why? Because there was no other way. There was no other hope. There was nothing else that could bring a peace to this earth and peace to man's heart and man's life. To know that the price of their sin had been paid for, a perfect sacrifice had been given. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, praise God, I'm glad it's a message for the world. It's good tidings which shall be to all men. It's for whosoever will listen, whosoever will hear, whosoever will receive, whosoever will realize the great sacrifice, the great gift that was given unto man when God gave His only begotten Son. It's a message that goes through the ages. It's a message that all the prophecies of the Old Testament, all the types and pictures and signs that we see in the Old Testament were pointing to. It's a message that all the Old Testament saints were in need of, and they still had to hear that message, because Christ went into a paradise and preached the message unto them and brought them out. It still took Jesus to bring the Old Testament saints out of paradise, to take them into heaven. Oh, praise God. They were anticipating it. It was a message that was needful for Joseph and Mary and the folks of their day. It was a message that was needful for the disciples. It's a message that's needful for the world today. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. The greatest message that's ever been preached is a simple message. Jesus saves. Amen. And not only is it the greatest message ever proclaimed, it's the greatest subject that's ever been preached. Amen. Look in verses 11 and 12. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. There's nothing else that I can preach that has any more power, that's any greater than preaching Christ Jesus. Amen. And Paul said it best, I think, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verses 1 to 5. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul said the most important thing about preaching is the subject that we preach about. Amen. It's not how great in words we have, how well of a speaker that we are. It's about who we speak about. Amen. It's not about all the knowledge that we have and all the books. I hear preachers get up and they talk about their lexicons and their this and their that and their commentaries and how many commentaries and all that we got, and that's all well and good. That all brings us to one end. It all brings us to the place of seeing Jesus Christ in every word, every passage, every story, every thought that has ever been written in the Bible. Amen. Some folks think you need to go to a Bible college. Folks need to get out of this nonsense of Bible colleges answers everything. Bible colleges are ruining men that God has called into the ministry all across this country. Amen. And they divide up and they get into camps and they get into fights and they divide the church because you went to this college and you went to that college and this college is against that college. And Jesus said, when his disciples asked him about those that were preaching, they said, "They're not part of our crowd. Should we go tell them to stop? Go tell them to shut up?" And Jesus said, "Leave them alone. If they're not against us, they're for us." Amen. Leave them alone. And yet a bunch of Baptists will get together and they'll fight with one another and argue with one another and won't fellowship with one another over who went to this college and who went to that college and everything. I've never seen such nonsense. The Apostle Paul said, "All we need is the power of the Spirit of God." Amen. And if we get the power of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God's directing us, instead of Professor so-and-so, we're going to preach Christ and Him crucified. He's going to be preeminent in our preaching. He's going to be preeminent in our service. He's going to be preeminent in our testimonies and in everything that we do. There's nothing more important than preaching Christ and Him crucified. If I'm going to preach hope to you, the only way I can preach true hope to you is to preach Christ. If I'm going to preach joy to you, the only way I can preach joy to you and the only way that you'll know true joy is to know Christ. Amen. If I'm going to preach peace to you, the only way that you're going to find peace in your life is to know Jesus. Amen. Know Jesus, know peace. Know Jesus and know peace. Amen. Praise God. It's all about Him and everything that we need to focus on. Everything that we need to do and everything that we are doing needs to be about Christ. Amen. The subject of the preaching, the subject of the message, the greatest message that was ever preached was Christ coming into the world. The greatest subject was Christ Himself. Amen. Because everything else is just vain babbling. Everything else is just man's trying to make man look good. Amen. I'm tired of a bunch of men. I just got wearied of all the big-name preachers. And everybody runs after all the big-name preachers. And they go around and they got their little books of sermons. And they go into a church and they open their sermon, the little book of sermon up. And they don't preach a sermon. They preach a script. Yeah. Amen? I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? Why the church is suffering the way it is today, we have forgot the reason of our preaching. We forgot the person of our preaching. It's all about how eloquent I can present and how eloquent I can preach. You go in a service and you can hear them in this church and that church and every service and they're preaching the exact same thing. They even have notes, I believe, laugh right here. chuckle right here. I'm not lying. It's right there. Every time, it's right there. There's nothing wrong with preaching the same passage of Scripture, preaching the same thought. But praise God, throw that script away and preach under the inspiration of the power of God. Amen. Amen? That's what's missing. That's what's missing. And why is it missing? Because we've stopped preaching it. We've stopped making Christ the preeminent. We're more worried about the preacher. Churches are more worried about having Dr. So-and-so as their pastor than they are having a God-filled, Spirit-led man. Amen? I mean, everybody wants somebody that's got a title. The only title, I'll tell you what, I hear all these preachers and I got all these missionaries, they call me up and, well, I know Dr. So-and-so and I've been over here to Dr. So, this one and that one and this one and I let them go on for a bit and then they said, do you know? I said, no, I don't know, never heard of him. Yeah, maybe I've heard of him or something, but I let them go on for a bit and then after a bit I said, well, that's all well and good, but just tell me what you know about Jesus and what he's doing in your ministry. That's what's important to me. Amen. That's what stirs my heart. Now, I like good preaching, and I like some of the preachers. We've had some big name preachers in here that are good preachers. Amen. But I don't have them because they're a big name preacher. I have them because I like the preaching. Amen. They preach some things that are profound, some things that just make you say, wow, because they preach about Christ. Amen. And they're making him the subject of the service. He's the focus, and he's at the forefront of all that's going on. It's the greatest message that was preached that night that has ever been preached. Amen. The good news, the good tidings, the gospel message, Christ has come. Amen. It was the greatest subject I ever preached about. And like I said, everything that I preach, if it don't come back to Christ, it's meaningless. Yeah. Amen? If I preach anything, and I don't care what I'm preaching and how I'm preaching it, somewhere along the line, it needs to come back to Christ. Because everything in the Word of God centers around Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? From the very beginning of creation, when God said, let us... Amen. You know who was there? God Father, God Son, and God Holy Spirit. Amen. Three personalities, but one God. Amen. He was there. When the bloodline began to flow in Genesis, he was there. Amen. And there's not a book in the Bible, there's not a story in the Bible that you can't go to and you can't read and you can't see a picture of Christ somewhere in it. Whether it's in deliverance, whether it's in forgiveness, whether it's in judgment, whatever it is, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I like the Brent Rochester family. I love them to death. They're good people. They bless my heart. But one of the things I really like about them is the name of their ministry. All about him. Amen. And that's what every one of us should have, that ministry in our life. It's all about him. Amen. When this church gets to the place where it stops being all about him, we need just to shut the doors and or just change the sign out there and quit calling it the church and call it a little club. Amen. It's all about him. Jesus. 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 We see the greatest message ever proclaimed. We see the greatest subject ever preached about. We see the greatest response to a message that I believe the world has ever seen. Amen. And the Bible says in verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Amen. You want to see what happens when you preach the right message? You want to see what happens when you preach the right subject? Amen. People's hearts get stirred. Amen. And things begin to happen. And things begin to transpire. The glory world world. I gets moved. And praise God, the glory world overflows and overswells into our service and overswells into our hearts. Amen. And pretty soon, men and people and everybody, all the creation, has some way or somehow is going to worship Him. You'll do it one day, if you want to or not. Amen. The Bible says one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess it. Amen. But praise God, it's so sweet when God's people get together and get in one mind and one accord. I get their selves focused on one thing, on Jesus Christ and the blessings that He's bestowed upon me. Man, if you just start counting the blessings of God in your life and just start thinking about how God has been just so good to you, how God has just poured blessings out to you, it ought to make you want to shout the house down. It ought to make a Baptist want to go crazy. Amen. That's enough. If you could just get a hold of it and get to praising God. The Bible says in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praises of His people. It says that He inhabits the praises of Israel. They were His people. Amen. That's what it literally says. But He inhabits the praise, man. If you get to start praising God and start thinking about how good He is and thinking about just what Jesus has done for you, praise God, pretty soon He's going to show up in the midst of that praise. Amen. Pretty soon worship is going to break out. I've been into some big good worship services. I've been in some services where the whole church just went crazy praising God and worshiping Him. We was down at Jubilee several years ago, and older lady, she got up and she just started shouting over here. Now there's 500 and some people in the service. Amen. And she sat way over here on the right side, about the middle ways back in the group over there on that side. And the preacher was preaching and God was just a moving. Folks were shouting amen. And she got up and she just started shouting the house down and praising God. Our brother Mark Hill got up and he took off. And right behind the pulpit on both sides, there was a door that went back to the hallways in the back of the church. And pretty soon he took a shouting and he took off and he went down that way. And you could hear him shouting all the way down to the other end of the church. It took him about 5 minutes or so to make the whole round and come back up. And over here on this side, next to where we were sitting, a little boy asked his daddy, said, "Daddy, is this what shouting time means?" And let me tell you something. Folks began to shout the house down. Folks began to worship. And the power of God was so real in that place, it would just make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. I mean, it was just like something you don't get to experience everywhere. Every service can be like that. When we get our hearts and minds in the right frame and in the right situation. Look here. The Bible says they were preaching and proclaiming the greatest message that had ever been proclaimed about the greatest individual that could ever be proclaimed about. And pretty soon the host of heaven showed up and began to worship God. And they began to praise God. And they were shouting glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill to men. You know why they could worship so good? You know why they were shouting out in the middle of the hillsides of Bethlehem to a bunch of shepherds, just a handful of shepherds out there keeping a watch over their flocks at night? Do you know why they were able to shout the house down? Do you know why they were able to worship God like they did? Because they knew Him. Amen. They knew the one that they were worshiping. They knew the one that they were glorifying. They knew Him. They didn't just know about Him. They knew about Him. Amen. They didn't just know Him in a casual sense. They knew Him intimately. Amen. In their hearts, they knew that He was everything. He was all. He was God. He was the Father. He was the Son. He was Holy Spirit. And He has sacrificed Himself to come and leave the portals of the glory world, to leave the ivory palaces, as the song says, to come in this old land of sin and sorrow, to die for sinners like you and me. And they just really knew Him. And friends, tonight, if you really know Him, amen, if you really, really know Him, it ought to be a desire in your house. It ought to be a desire in this temple in which you dwell, to shout the house down. Amen. And to praise God and to give Him all the glory and the honor that's due His name. Why? Because you know Him. Amen. I know Him in the free pardon of sin. I know Him as my Savior. Amen. I know Him as my Deliverer. I know Him as the one who took my place to redeem me from the curse of sin. Oh, folks, I know Him. But I don't just know Him that way. I know Him intimately. He's the one that I can talk to anytime. He's the one that never leaves me nor forsakes me. He's the one that's closer than a brother. Amen. He's everything that I could ever want. Everything that I could ever hope to desire to find in a friend. Amen. There's no friend like Jesus. Amen. There's no one that will do for you what Jesus could do. And praise God tonight. I want you to know something. He's worthy of shouting the house down about. Amen. Simply because of that. And let me tell you something else. I know Him so well that I know that when I let Him down and when I fail Him, He just don't throw me away and write me off. Praise God. He's willing to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. When I come to Him and I say, Lord, I've just failed You one more time. Lord, I've messed up again. Praise God. And I ask Him to forgive me. You know what He does? He forgives me. Amen. You won't find many friends like that. And the Bible says when He forgives us, He puts our sins as far away as the east is from the west, as they've been cast into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. You might betray some folks. You might hurt some folks and some friends in this world, and they tell you they forgive you, but they never forget. But praise God, I'm glad when He forgives me. Praise God, He forgets all about it. Amen. I'm glad when He forgives me. It's all done and over with. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, I'm a sinful man. Amen. A no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke. Oh, but praise God, you know what He does? He forgives me every day. His mercies are new every morning. And when I call upon Him, and when I ask Him for forgiveness, He forgives me. Woo! Amen. He's worth shouting the house down over. He's worth worshiping. He's worth getting excited about tonight. Amen. Amen. We've got so accustomed to going with the routine of the world and Christmas and Xmas and this and that, and it's all about all this junk. Why don't you just stop and take a little bit of time to focus on Him. Amen. 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 To focus on Him and worship Him. Yes. Amen. And try to worship Him like they did that first Christmas. Amen. Try to worship Him with your whole being. You know, that's the problem. We want a halfway worship. Yes. We're too dignified to get ignorant. Amen. And just let it run. Now, I heard some of y'all. I've watched you. I've listened to you. I've seen your Facebook posts when your kids are at the ball game. And, moms. My son played football. Played for Rising Sun. We'd be sitting up there in the stands. And he said, Mom, I could hear you. You know, hundreds of people there to watch all these teams play football. Amen. From two high schools. And in the midst of all that noise, he could hear his mama. Amen. Well, you know what? In the midst of all the noise, heaven needs to hear your praise. And the Bible says He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. The sacrifice of our lips. You say, well, I just praise Him in my heart. No, they wasn't praising Him in the heart. They were shouting, glory to God. Amen. Amen. They were getting loud. They were just plumb ignorant. Amen. Undignified. Unwound. Amen. They just let it go. Why? Because they really knew who it was. It was more important than their little boy, the little girl. It was more important than some overpaid, over-exonerated professional sports athlete. More important than anything else in this world. They were worshiping Jesus. Amen. Folks, I want to be in a worship service like that. Amen. I want to be in a place and in a way where there's nothing more important in everyone's life than Jesus. And the only way that can be is to really know him. The lepers knew him. The lepers came in and worshiped Jesus. Just read through Matthew. Do a word study, worship, and just look through Matthew. The lepers knew him and they came and worshiped him. Amen. The women, whether it was worshiping him, beseeching his blessing on a family member, or whether it was worshiping him because of their own sin, they worshiped him. Amen. Rulers worshiped him. People, just ordinary people, ordinary individuals in this world that really weren't acquainted with him but knew about him, worshiped him. But praise God, nobody can worship him like those who know him intimately. His disciples worshiped him. And the more they got to know him, man, I remember when they was out there on that Sea of Galilee, he got up and he told the wind and the waves to lay down and to be still, and said, "Peace, be still." And they looked at him and they were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey?" And the Bible says, and they worshiped him. The more they got to know him, the more they worshiped him. The more you know about him, the more you'll worship him. The more you see him do in your life, the more you'll want to worship him. And the only way he'll work in your life is if you allow him to work in your life. You invite him into your life, and you'll let him into your life. Praise God, I guarantee you something. You'll want to worship him. Amen. Amen. That's all I got. I close with this thought. Do you really want to worship him? Amen. Do you really want to worship him? Maybe tonight you need to see why you're not worshiping him. Why is it that we're constrained and we're not just letting go? Like God, man, we're seeing kids that are doing what we've been hoping kids would do, that they're wanting to worship God. Been praying for this for years, and you know, the role models they have now are those that are worshiping God. Those, not those that are the tough guys, and those that are the tough girls, and those that don't want to have a part of that. We got those now that are role models in our church, and you better take that seriously, kids. Amen. Your role models, you older ones, are role models for the younger ones. Amen. And they want to have a part. Old men and old women, you better take that seriously, because these teenagers are looking at you. Amen. And they need some role models that aren't afraid to get up and worship God. Moms and dads, why ain't you worshiping God? You say, well, it's just not for somebody else. No, it's for you. Amen. It's for me. It's for all of us. No one else can do it for us. We've got the place we want everybody else to do. We want all the special singing because we don't want to do our part. Congregational singing is designed to get the individual, every individual, into the service and into the part. And man, I'm amazed. I go to churches, even small churches, and the ones that really know him, you go to their churches and they're really singing out. Are we really singing out? Are we really worshiping? What's keeping you tonight? What is it that's hindering you from really worshiping him? Amen. Ask yourself that question. Don't worry about me. Amen. I can get ignorant every now and then. Amen. I ain't afraid to. Amen. I ain't afraid to shout every now and then. Amen. I'll slobber all over you if I get too close to you. Don't worry about it. It's just holy water anyway. Amen. Amen. But praise God, I want to worship him. But do you want to worship him? Amen. I got to worry about me. But do you want to worship him? Do you know him? If you know him, you'll worship him. If you know him, you'll want to worship him. He's done more for you than anybody could ever do. even though you may not realize it. As we stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder tonight, with no one looking around, everybody's got this moment of privacy, this moment when it's just you, me, and the Lord here, and I promise you, I will not come to you, I will not point you out, I will not embarrass you, but I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that has never asked Jesus into their heart. You know you're here tonight, and you know you're not saved, but you realize tonight that Jesus died for you so that you wouldn't have to fear death. Jesus died for you so that you could have peace in your life. Jesus died for you that he might give you life and life more abundantly, he said. But you know you've never accepted his gift of deliverance, his gift of salvation. You've never asked him into your heart. Maybe you're here tonight and you know you're not saved. I don't care if you're a young person, an old person, an in-between person. If you're here tonight and you know you're not saved, would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. That's all I'm going to do. I won't come to you and pray for you now. I will in no way point you out. I will in no way do anything that embarrasses you. I just want to pray for you. Is there one tonight? Pastor, pray for me. Christian, you're here tonight, and maybe tonight God just sent something into your heart and told you that you've not been worshiping the way that you should be worshiping. You're not just letting go and letting God have his way. And tonight, you just need to come. Maybe you need to come tonight, and you need to bow here, and you just need to get some things out of the way so that you can worship God unhindered, so that you can worship God unabated. Nothing will keep you from worshiping God the way that he wants to be worshiped. Glory to God. They weren't just glory to God in the highest. They were shouting it out. They were giving it all their being. Maybe tonight there's someone here that's got a special burden of dealing with something that's just really troubling them and just want me to pray with you about it. If you just slip your hand up, I'll see your hand. I'll covenant with you in prayer and pray for you and whatever it is that you're dealing with.